Welcome to Teach Outdoors, the podcast that brings you inspiration and ideas for taking your teaching outside. Together, we'll explore the benefits of learning outside the classroom, share tips and tricks for successful outdoor teaching, and hear from educators who are making a difference in the lives of their students through outdoor experiences. Join us as we dive into the world of teaching outdoors and discover new ways to engage and inspire the next generation. I'm Lauren McLean, mother of two young ones, author of Me and My Sit Spot, teacher, and outdoor classroom enthusiast. I'm grateful to be living, learning, playing, and raising my family on the traditional and unceded lands, waters, and skies of the Kwikwetlem First Peoples. Hey there, fellow nature enthusiasts. I'm Lauren McLean, and welcome to another episode of Teach Outdoors. Today, we're diving into the world of mushrooms and fungi. And with us today to highlight her incredible experiences with these type of inquiries is Carly Erickson. Good morning, Carly. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
So excited to be here with our cup of coffee. So do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I am currently a vice principal in New West School District, and I teach at quite a large elementary school this year. And the information that I'm going to be sharing with you today is actually from a different elementary school. The inquiry process with the mushrooms and the fungi that we did occurred a couple years ago when I was pregnant, which does play a little bit into some of the stories that I have to share today. And I was teaching a grade three class. So that's kind of where all this excitement stemmed from. mushroom stem. Okay, this could be that kind of podcast.
And I'm sure that listeners will see that we have a very good back and forth. Carly and I grew up together. We taught together. So we are very much in sync. And when I forget a word, she's going to jump in and help me finish it. It's going to be one of those type of interviews.
Yes, it'll be fun. Hopefully you'll have as much fun as we're going to have doing it. Anyway, here we go.
All right. So let's start with what inspired you to take your learners outside to investigate mushrooms.
Well, you know, my answer is going to be you.
Yeah.
100% you. Basically, what happened was, as I mentioned, I am a school-based vice principal. And so I do have a teaching component, right? Not full-time vice principal admin duties. But in my previous school, I had 0.8 teaching, and 3 days a week of that, so 0.6, was in the classroom, and then the other two were prep. So my 3 days in a classroom is what we're focusing on today. That was, as I said before, grade three, and I was job sharing, and the way that we divided things were that my job share partner was going to, take the science curriculum. But I knew I still wanted to do something outdoors. I really wanted to get some outdoor learning routines into my teaching practice. And again, that's mainly because of inspiration from you. So thank you. All the conversations that we've been having over the years. And so I was so excited to get back into the classroom and have my own class, grade three. I mean, you can't get any better than that. And so I was like, what can I do that is going to be exciting and fun and new for me? That was a big part of it. I wanted it to be a new thing for me so that I was learning as well. And something that I thought might be new to the kids, right? You know, we always get so excited. And I came across this a few times teaching grade three. I get so excited about a book that we're going to read or an activity that we're going to do. And the kids are like, oh, we did that in grade two. Oh. So I was like, what might be something new? I've been trying to remember really where the inspiration came from to start. And I think it was just, you know, I'm sure you're the same. I sign up for lots of weekly emails and teaching tips. And I think the inspiration came from a kind of weekly subscription that I had from The Love of Homeschooling.
Okay.
And they do a lot of outdoor learning activities. They, you know, it's kind of lure you in with freebies. And I'm pretty sure that's kind of where the idea came from. I don't think I used any stuff from them. I didn't use a lot of extra outdoor resources outside resources, not outdoor. But I really looked at kind of taking the kids lead and going from there. So that was kind of where the inspiration came from. I knew that, I wanted to do sit spots, and that again was inspiration from you and your book. I knew I wanted to do nature journals, and I thought that a fungi focus could also be fun. And I knew that I needed an area of focus. Like I knew I needed to say, when we're going outside today, we're going to do our specific warm-up activities. We're going to do our nature routines, which are with our sit spots and our nature journals. But then our investigation, I knew for myself as an educator, my own teaching style is that I had to have something focused and to keep me on track. Otherwise, we'd be doing willy-nilly stuff all year. So I knew I needed lesson sequence ideas to keep myself motivated. And also to keep that commitment with going outside, right? And we went at least once a week, if not twice a week. And we were really looking at ways to extend our classroom to our outside.
Oh, I love that.
So yeah, and that is also a big idea that I'm trying to work in with my current school as well is, we are a very big school and we have a lot of portable spaces, and I'm really trying to work with teachers on how to inspire them to extend their classroom to the outside. And so the school that I'm talking about, my previous school, we were right across the street from like a stunning, beautiful urban park. And I was really committed to also model for my school community, for the educators in my building, that I was going to make this commitment to go outside. There were quite a few teachers in my school that were starting to make the leap, right, to do a lot more outdoor learning. And so I wanted to make sure I was modeling that as vice principal, and gain some experience, gain some lesson ideas, gain some funny stories. I mean, that's all what it's all about, right? It's getting stories to share, to try to encourage the staff to try something new as well. And then kind of the continuation on with the inspiration to study fungi was that I had, and again, I don't know where I came across this, but this is a great resource for anyone who's looking at doing some outdoor learning or doing a lot of environmental work, is that the Habitat Conservation Trust Foundation, they have an environmental exchange box program. So I was lucky enough, I applied for that and was lucky enough to be accepted into the program. So for any educators out there that are looking for something exciting, I'm assuming it's still in place.
I think it is, and I can put the link in the podcast notes for the HCTF.
Perfect. Yes, HDTF. And so part of the commitment for that is that you have a buddy class somewhere else around the province, and you're making that commitment to be communicating with that buddy class, sharing your learning and your activities, and sending a box back and forth every, couple weeks or month or whatever it might be with the outdoor learning activities or environmental content that you're learning about. So we had a buddy class on the island. And we use it as an opportunity to practice letter writing, right? And also documenting what we were learning about fungi and sharing with that class different things that we were exploring. And so that also kept that momentum going and that inspiration going. And then kind of a culmination activity, which happened right before I went on mat leave, is our kids or my kids wrote nonfiction books about specific types of mushrooms, and they published those books. They worked in groups. They worked really hard. We did, as a research component to that. We were working on our research-based skills, and then we were working on our nonfiction writing and documentation. And they were able to publish these books and send them along to their buddies. So it wasn't, just that we were keeping them in class or that we were sharing them within our school community or sending them home, but we were teaching other kids in another part of the province. And I think that was a really nice way of kind of culminating our fungi unit.
And were all the mushrooms that the students selected ones that you could find at that urban park?
Yes, ones that we knew were available, whether we had seen them or not, is a different. Yeah, we hadn't seen all of them, but. I'll talk more about this in a little bit, or I can talk about it now, I guess, is that our class community, so families, got very involved in the
Oh.
project, or it's not even a project, it was just in our learning about
Yeah.
fungi. And so kids were spending the weekends with their families going around and sending me pictures, like sending the class back pictures. And I've
Amazing.
never, it was the biggest amount of family involvement. This is a school that does have a high commitment and a high family involvement, but this was next level. Like I would
Wow.
be receiving photos of, we went on a walk today, we went on a hike today, we were in an urban environment, and look at what we found.
Right.
So it was really a great activity, I guess, or motivation for families to also get involved with their kids' learning. And I mean, mushrooms are so trendy right now. Mushrooms do seem to be quite trendy right now. There
Yeah.
is a lot of, like cutesy little Etsy things, or I don't know, whatever, felted mushrooms, felted wooded animals out there. Like I'm seeing a lot of mushroom inspired curriculum, content, cute things, whatever it might be. And I think the families were really getting into that as well.
Yeah,
So,
I mean, you're a trendsetter. Look at
oh,
that.
yeah, sure.
And I think, I mean, for me, listening to that, I think the high family involvement does speak volumes to the fact that it was new and it was exciting. When we do, our same units over and over again, as you said, we get a little bored. Families sort of already know, oh, well, you're going into grade three, Miss Erickson's class, you're probably going to be learning about X, Y, and Z. And now all of a sudden, oh, look, we're going to be doing this mushroom unit. And it's so exciting. So they do amp up and get a bit more involved. It's exciting.
For sure. And I think that, I mean, once, if anybody wants to try this, doing this, adding this into their day or their weekly activities, I mean, it is fairly easy, really. But it's a treasure hunt. Like that's what it ultimately comes down to. And I think that adds so much to the excitement, because some days we would find tons and some days we would find very few. And so, I mean, when we, my background, right? My background is inclusive ed, very much. And you and I have done some work together on how do we make outdoor learning more inclusive. And you've continued on with that big time. I've kind of fallen by the wayside on that other side of
No.
of my career, but hopefully to get back into it. This fungi unit, or this, inquiry process, this just outdoor learning focus, was so open-ended that all of my kids were able to access it at whatever level they were at.
It's amazing.
And it really, just came down to being able to get outdoors, right, and practice some basic sort of scientific skills, right, and whatever else we would do on top of that, whether it was writing, whether it was reading. I could scaffold and differentiate based on that, but us as a class, just getting outside and exploring, all kids were fully engaged every time.
To me,
And
I love that.
I didn't have to prep anything, right?
Right. Yep.
I mean, maybe some questions, or maybe a focus for that day, but really, it was nature that was inspiring. Oh my gosh,
Right? Look at you go, right? It was, yeah, that you were on the land, you experienced that time, and you uncovered, as you said, almost that treasure hunt, that magic. Magical process from there.
It was exciting when we would find something new. They were so excited. And these are grade threes, right? These aren't little kids anymore. And it was still really magical. So,
All right. So, nitty-gritties. So, you have taken your class outside. So, you've started a bit of a nature walk. You have the focus to look and hunt for mushrooms. And then, what happens? What happens when you do find a mushroom with your grade threes?
So in the beginning, so the first, I mean, I had gone out and scoped out some areas where I knew that there were mushrooms growing. And so, I was able to kind of guide us to these areas. And I didn't have much of a plan after that, to be honest. I didn't think this was going to go on for as long as it did. I didn't think it had as much depth as it ended up having, which, I mean, that's the exciting part of teaching, right? Is, and this may not, there may not be the depth or the excitement every single year if I decided to do this unit every single year, but for this group of kids, it was really exciting. So we were already doing some of the lessons and some of the ideas from the walking curriculum, right? So I'll back up a little bit. So we really started to look at mushrooms and fungi probably in mid-October. was quite early in the school year. And so I do think that because this unit was so exciting and fun and new for our kids, or for my kids, it really did help to set up those routines and expectations for our outdoor learning time. And so we started quite early on in the year, and we had, started with some brainstorming after our first initial kind of walk of let's see where we can find mushrooms growing. So I started with just mushrooms because I knew that that was going to be something the kids could more relate to at the beginning, and then we expanded that to fungi after. But we just walked around. We walked around and we found a lot, and they found a lot. They found way more than I could even, kind of expect them to find, and that I had found just in my first kind of pre-walk. And then we went back, and over, a couple weeks, we were brainstorming what we already knew about mushrooms and fungi, and any questions that we had, like we're doing a KWL, right? And any questions that we had, and these eventually formed the basis of those nonfiction books that we were talking about that we made, right? So the kids were able to look back at the questions that they had been asking throughout the last couple of weeks, and then research the answers to that by themselves if we hadn't already found it within our own classroom, kind of our own classroom learning or our own outdoor learning. I was really trying to build a strong connection to place in that class. And as I said, I was trying to extend our classroom outdoors. This was 2021, 2022 school year. So COVID was still around, right? Like we started off the year with masks still. And so taking this outdoor learning was an opportunity to literally take a breath of fresh air. And so I was really trying to, have that connection to place. Our school was based on the traditional territory of the Kikai First Nation, who have a really strong or a really interesting history within the New Westminster community. And as I said, we had access to a beautiful urban park. And so just really making sure that when we were outside, right, that we were focusing on our community walks and we were looking closely, we were documenting our findings that we were looking at outdoors. And as I mentioned, this was the beginning of the year. And so the kids had enough background knowledge that mushrooms or some mushrooms were poisonous. Right. And some mushrooms shouldn't be touched. And so again, setting up that routine of when we're outdoors, right? We can use our five senses at times, and we need to know which senses we're using. And so I think that that was another really great way of having a real life example of we are not touching, we are not smelling, we are not tasting. I mean, ooh, right. And so again, it was a great kind of basis for those expectations and routines. I don't think I actually answered your question, but
Well, you did, because we really wanted to know sort of the layers of how you went outside. So you're talking about the routines of your nature walk, the routines of using our senses. So you're laying down all those expectations and awareness and hazards at the beginning. And then, you're finding mushrooms. And then what next? Sort of like, how did the students look at the mushrooms? Did they look at shape or color?
Yes. So we started to classify, right? So we started to document. We had the nature journals. A helpful hint for anyone new on this journey is, I mean, there's lots of different ways that you can document when you're outdoors, but we're on the West Coast, right? It is often rainy. And I found in the summer before school started, I found plastic covered notebooks at the dollar store, and I bought them all. And so we did have, journals that we could take outside that were plastic covered that protected us from the rain a little bit, but there's other ways of getting outside and documenting outside. So we started to document by taking photos and by drawing what we were finding, and then going back and researching different types of mushrooms, like what family of mushrooms does this kind of belong to? What could this be? And that then expanded into fungi as well. So not mushrooms and our traditional kind of mushrooms, but fungi as well. Obviously, I came to you for advice, and I was like, "Hey, this is what's happening. I'm so excited. what are some ideas? And I think the best one, not the best one, they were all great. The one that got my group of learners so excited, and me as well, was you suggested get some tiny mirrors so you can look underneath the mushrooms without touching them. And those kids could lay on the ground in the wet forever and investigate the underside of the mushrooms that we were finding. And that was it was mind-blowing, right? Just I have some pictures of them just like lying on the ground looking. And they're some of my favorite photos, right? It was really an exciting time. And they didn't seem to care. The grass was wet, right? And they would just lie there and look underneath using these small mirrors that, you know, I had a great principal. And she was purchasing them for the school. And so they're still in the outdoor learning bins at that school. So anybody at that school, you know who I'm talking about. There's some small mirrors there. Get outside and explore some mushrooms. And so that was great just to have the small mirrors to investigate further. And then our process really went into fungi. Away from mushrooms necessarily, and really starting to get into fungi, which I think was a good, I mean, I don't know how well this would have gone with a grade one group, right? But grade three, they're kind of, if you're looking at your science curriculum, they're, you know, you're looking at living and non-living things. And this world of fungi all of a sudden kind of extends that notion of living thing. And so we were able to kind of make those further connections. We were able to make those next steps with looking at living things in terms of the fungi world, because I remember I had pulled up our KWL that I had typed it all out after the kids had created it. And the first question is, or yeah, the wonder with the first one on that list is, what is fungi if is it's not a plant, it's not an animal, but it's a living thing? And I mean, I don't think I could sit here and tell you what it is. It's hard. It's difficult to really explain what it is, but it did allow for that next step of learning and understanding of, you know, that's nature and the world and living things are not always things that we can see with the naked eye or even see, right? So it was kind of that next step of abstract thinking, I guess, and understanding different concepts. So, and then as I mentioned, you know, then a next step after that was really this family involvement. And so I send home within my teaching practice, I send home weekly newsletters, right, documenting what we've learned that week and setting, you know, upcoming dates, whatever, that's coming up. And so, you know, by mid-October, there was almost a dedicated space in our weekly newsletter for our fungi, fun fungi, we would call it. And as I said, I started to receive emails weekly from parents, and they were extending this learning at home, right? So whether they were going out and actively looking for mushrooms or fungi in the community, or they were just kind of happening upon them, I would get emails from a variety of parents, like even parents that, you know, had never emailed before and hadn't emailed the rest of the year. They were sending me they were sending me photos. And so it was extending into community as well, into home. And kind of then, you know, a next step, a further step was one family gifted us a mushroom growing kit, right? So we grow our own mushrooms in our classroom, and we could see the growth and change and how things evolved over time. And that, you know, that just extended our learning. As I said earlier, when I introduced myself, I was pregnant at the time, and this is where that this funny story comes in, because I could smell those mushrooms as soon as I walked into the class. The kids couldn't smell them, but I was in my first trimester, right? Like, I mean, it was, you know, you knew. Oh, so any newly pregnant educators out there that are thinking about this, maybe you won't be able to smell. I was so sensitive to smells. I could smell those mushrooms from the moment I opened the door.
Oh, that's so
But I kept them in
funny.
there for the learning. I took one for the
Committed.
team.
I love that. Because I know we were often messaging back and forth while you were doing this inquiry, and so then I was inspired to sort of try our mushroom inquiry, and it didn't take root the same way as it did in your classroom, as you were sort of hinting. It's not the same in every context, which is why it's impossible to send people like lesson plans for land or place-based learning. It's so land specific and space specific. But we were still investigating mushrooms, same as you, classifying, observational sketches. We did a lot of, because I had a younger grade, I had grade 1-2s that year. We did it a lot through counting and mapping.
I got
So
you.
we would go to the same place almost every day to count. Is it still just growing on its own? Is it growing in a colony? So we would do tally marks that way. And then we mapped the spaces where they were. Are they, pointing north, south, east, west? Are they hiding behind a tree, under a log? And so we were trying to find, positive interactions of where mushrooms like to grow beside what other living or non-living thing that's out on our land, and sort of documented the growth of that mushroom tends to really grow a lot faster. So there were two last week, and now all of a sudden there's six. But that bracket fungi has been there all by itself for 2 years, and it doesn't seem to be growing anybody's. And so then we sort of looked at what mushrooms do like to grow by themselves and tried to tie it to our personal social core competencies that we have in BC. Anyway, so that's how you inspired me.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Well, you really did help me think of some new activities because as I mentioned, I was new in my outdoor learning journey. I hadn't had a classroom. I hadn't had the opportunity to teach in a classroom, right?
Right.
And for quite a few years, I'd been in inclusive ed
Yeah.
and I had been doing some consulting work and things like that. And so part of my excitement was being able to have my group of kids where we could investigate something and look at something over time. And so, yeah, it does. I think that's a great example of how learning changes in your context.
Yeah.
We were in, I mean, I know if I tried to, let's say magically, I had another grade three class tomorrow at the current school that I'm in, it would be much harder to find mushrooms in our community,
Right.
right? And we're only a couple blocks different, but it's a different landscape, right? It's a
Yeah.
different place. And so it would change and maybe my focus would change. I mean, we did nothing related to math. I mean, well, of course we did. Of course we did. We were doing classification and things like that, but not like, we weren't doing tally marks. We weren't, investigating, going back to the same spots to see if they were multiplying or things like that.
Right.
I think I was so focused on getting something to share in our environmental exchange box. That
Right.
was my focus, right? Is like
Yeah.
we're learning all of this stuff. How can we share it with somebody else? And how can we document for somebody else? And
Yeah.
that was really the focus because of the other activities in our class that we were doing, like this environmental exchange box.
That's so cool. And so you were, as you said, you took photos of those mushrooms, you did some nonfiction writing, and that's what you put in your box to share with the school on the island.
Yeah,
Awesome.
we weren't going to put any mushrooms in there.
No.
But they sent us a bird, a beautiful, beautiful birdhouse to build. And so, yeah,
Oh.
it was a great reciprocal relationship. Like,
Yeah.
yeah. So,
So,
yeah.
yeah, beyond that sort of as a resource and sort of that carrot that kept you going, it was motivation for your students to stay engaged in the inquiry process. Were there any other helpful resources that you use that you could share with us?
Yeah, so I was trying to look back, and as you said, right, there's a variety. So as I mentioned, like I was taking prompts from the walking curriculum, trying to incorporate them into our kind of community walks and what we might be looking for. So there is one resource. I was pulling from here I have it written down. I had a download called Fantastic Fungi by Josie Hammer. So she's at On Willow's Bend. I don't know if that's Instagram or Facebook. I got do you recognize
I
that?
do recognize that name. Yes. Yeah.
So she had some exploration ideas, and you know this about me. I am not a teacher who follows one program. That would make my life a lot easier, I think. But I'm always
Right.
like, okay, I'm going to take a little bit from here and a little bit from here and a little bit from here. And when I was going back to look to see, like, what was I drawing from for, what resources or inspiration was I using? It's a kind of all over the place. But that was one resource. So Fantastic Fungi, on Willow's Bend. that had some really great exploration prompts. So we weren't following those lessons necessarily, and the information that she was sharing and the ideas that she was sharing. But I remember that that was some kind of her background information, or like was some of the stuff that the kids were reading to get more information on mushrooms and fungi. As I said, we were doing the environmental exchange box program, which was a great focus and motivation keeper, right? And like kind of that North Star end goal of why we were doing this, so we could share this with another school and another community. There was I hope there still is. I meant to look this up last night. Maybe you can add it in because now I'm not as prepared as I thought I was. On Netflix, there is a documentary.
I don't know if it's still up there. I will double check as well, and I will put
It
in the
was
podcast notes. I
so
know
good.
exactly what you're talking
It
about.
was so good. I wish there is some, I don't want to say adult language, but there was enough language in there that I couldn't show it to the kids. And I so wish I could have. Even, I mean, there might be some snippets if it's still around. There might be some snippets that you could show to your kids. But it was, again, it was, about fungi, the magnificent world of, I'm making that up, so don't look that up. It was, you might be able to find it. I can see that you're frantically looking. It was just
Fantastic fungi
like, okay,
on
there we
Netflix.
go.
There
So
you go.
fantastic fungi. And it, I mean, it gave me a lot of background information. It gave me a lot of ideas. And I think if you could, if you're an educator even of older grades, if you watch that documentary, I think there's a lot of lesson ideas and the kind of sparks in there, because it talks about the connection, how fungi, really is the backbone to the natural world, and just the information highway that it provides, and for the mycelium and things like that growing under the ground. And it was fascinating. It was fascinating. And so that was another inspiration. And then there are a lot of great picture books out there that we were using, and then it kind of spurred into like bacteria. And then, we were coming out of COVID as well. So there was a little bit of that piece that some of my boys really got into. And yeah, so again, I'm not one person to have, or I'm not a person that has just kind of one inspiration ever. I'm always drawing from all over the place. But we really just took the opportunity to learn and explore outdoors and just do it really, really naturally and organically.
And now I know you sort of hinted that if you magically had another grade three classroom, what you would do differently or how it might change. But what would you really keep if you did it again? And on sort of the flip side, what would you do differently?
Sure. So I would keep doing it, doing a fungi unit at the beginning of the year. For sure. I think it set up our routines and expectations and built excitement, as I have mentioned a few times. But it really, for our outdoor learning time, it did allow us to really set those expectations and routines up really well. Students were excited and engaged, right? And didn't matter if it was raining, they wanted to go outside. And that motivation sometimes fell away later on in the year with different units of study. Fall is a great time to go foraging for your mushrooms, right? And as I mentioned, the community, school community that I was in, really was a mushroom heaven, right? Like there was mushrooms everywhere and different types of fungi everywhere. And so that was really great. So I would definitely keep it as kind of that building block, that backbone of building a routine around outdoor learning. I, depending on my learners, I don't know if I had a really motivated group who loved to read and write and loved to make books. And so the activities that we did related to how we were showing our learning really were a lot of reading and writing and documenting that way, documenting our learning that way. And that might change with a different group, right? So would I do so much pen to paper, pencil to paper documenting. I don't know. If I was part of the environmental exchange box program again, you know, I did think that it was a great way to share what we were doing with another group, but maybe we would do that differently. I would definitely try to expand the exploration to include other areas of study, like you were talking about, right? Like, you know, adding some math focus in there, adding other areas of science focus in there. And but really, if I was to do it again, I would, as I had kind of mentioned, based on the Netflix documentary, I would really want to focus more on how the mycelium connects plants and trees and how that affects all living things. Right. And you can even weave that into, you know, if you're doing this at the beginning of the year, weave this into your classroom community. Like your, I mean, I don't like the word code of conduct, but your, you know, classroom expectations. We did spend a lot of time in term one, building our classroom community. And I was really working with a lot of, resources and ideas from Adrienne Gear and her Powerful Understanding book, which is a great book.
It is.
And she has a unit, right? That's we are all connected. And so I think I would make a lot more explicit connections to that,
Right.
you know, how we, big we, right? Nature, humans, everybody, animals, how we're all connected. And I think that I would really focus on that, especially at the beginning of the year, make some explicit connections that way. I would want to add in more experiments or like cooking with mushrooms,
Oh, fun idea.
right? We were still, as I said, it was still kind of, you know, it was 2021 when we were doing this, October 2021. So we were still a bit wary with COVID. We were still wearing masks and we weren't really as a school community, you know, allowing much cooking or group cooking. Together, so we didn't have that opportunity. I was also in my first trimester, and I don't know if I could have handled the smell of those mushrooms going in, even though I love mushrooms. But yeah, I would love to do some more cooking or, you know, tasting, right? And kind of get more into that piece. And even looking at, you know, yeasts and things like that. So maybe doing a sourdough starter, making some kombucha. I don't know if that would fly, you know, but something where we could see this, the activation process, right? Real life. I know I have sourdough starter. I used to make sourdough all the time, so that would be very quite easy for me. I know the kind of the process. But just as I mentioned before, right, that you know, for older kids or even younger kids, you could, you know, scale this down. But I did find that kind of looking at fungi as a whole and making that expansion from living things, right? They're not just everything that we can see. That would be a really great way of doing that, is looking at sourdough and
Amazing,
squashes.
right?
Another thing that I wanted to do, but I went on mat leave in third term, was you know, I always leave fiction writing, and I start the year with nonfiction writing. So again, that always helps. That would help with the mushroom unit or the fungi unit, is doing your nonfiction writing. I start with nonfiction because I just find it easier for myself to teach it, and the kids make connections stronger, I feel. And then later in the year, do move on to more non or fiction writing. And so I also have a pretty strong loose parts slash story workshop routine in my class, even with the grade threes. It worked so well. And I would love to explore the magical. No, this is going to sound wrong, but I'm going to say it anyways. The magical side of mushrooms, not that way. But like the fairy tale world of mushrooms, right? And I think, I mean, if you had little kids, imagine the stories that would come out if you had loose parts with little mushrooms, little, you know, trees, little, I don't know, like the little animals, and spend time outdoors thinking about what is going on under the soil, right? What is going on under this mushroom? What is going on under this log? And really exploring kind of that magical fairy side, miniature worlds, magical forest kind of stuff. I think that would be so fun for narrative writing, right? Or narrative documenting, and comparing and contrasting that, right? Making sure the kids, you know, knew that, we are looking, sometimes we're looking at a scientific side, sometimes we're looking at a more creative, magical side. And I think just, I would love, I mean, of course, I would love to add those little figurines and
Yeah.
those little pieces to my loose parts collection. So those were some things that I thought, yeah, if I was going to do this again, what would I do?
Yeah.
I'm trying to look, just looking at my notes here. Yeah, that's about it.
That's
And
amazing.
a lot that I could do next, right?
Right.
A
Yeah, a
lot
lot
that I
that you've
could.
learned from that you would carry over and then add to, as we always do. It's so exciting. Now, if people have questions for you after listening to this, would you like us to email? Would you like us to follow you on social? If so, which one is sort of the easiest way for people to contact you?
Yeah, so for sure, email is always great, and I'm sure you'll provide my email
In the link.
in the link.
Yep.
And then I do have an Instagram account, which all of us outside, which
Nice.
I if you look on it, it hasn't been active in a while, but I do check it. I can go in there and check it. So if you have any questions, absolutely
Awesome.
leave
Thank you
any
so
there.
much.
Connect. Yes. Thank
Amazing. Well,
you.
yeah, well, thank you. It was lovely chatting over coffee. I know virtually. Hopefully, I'll see you in the next few days in person. Life is busy, especially now that we both have young ones, but yeah, we can still take them outside and go for a little fungi hunt because it is spring. I know you did your inquiry in the fall, but it's springtime. It's super wet where I am up on the mountain. I'm sure it's wet where you are as well. So
Bit
it's
wet.
also a great time for us to go look again.
And
So.
it would be interesting, even to, as I mentioned, I went off on my mat leave, and so there was kind of that spring component of this that I would
Right.
like if I had a full year with kids,
Yeah.
is, do the mushrooms change, right?
Yeah.
And the types of mushrooms that we're finding, are we finding them in different places? Like, there's so much to really go
I
on.
know.
And so you would do your full year, right?
Yeah.
There's so many connections in this realm of fungi,
Yeah.
that you could really spend the whole year just doing this investigation if you wanted to. There's a
Yeah,
lot.
even in the winter, we often do adaptations for how plants and animals survive. So what is happening to the mushrooms and fungi over those very cold winter months that we had? It's not that they just disappear. So what is happening that we can't see necessarily?
There we go.
Amazing. Well, thank you everybody for listening. I hope you have fun exploring and investigating mushrooms. Keep checking at teachoutdoors.ca for updates. And until next time, keep exploring, keep wondering, and keep marveling at the beauty of the natural world. And as always, I'll end with the song From the Trees by Brandon Grant. Thanks so much.
Start on my path. I look around to find a spot that I can call home for a while. Walking slowly, I feel so calm. I find a spot where nature opens up her arms for me to breathe. I see the stories I can learn from the trees, the feeling, the touch of gentle breeze, knowing the land around me brings me peace, watching the world around me sets me free. I feel the sunshine kiss my skin. I hear all of the birds singing from within. I get familiar with my space. I now know how every part fits in every place for me to breathe. I see the stories I can learn from the trees. The feeling, the touch of gentle breeze, knowing the land me brings me peace, watching the world around me sets me. I go to visit in morning, in sunshine and the rain, to see what's different and notice the things that stay the same. I get to know my teacher, the spot that gives me health. To get to know the land is to get to know yourself. To breathe, I see the stories I can learn from the trees. The feeling, the touch of gentle breeze. Knowing the land around me brings me peace. Watching the world around me sets me free.